So welcome to the Meaningful Jobs podcast season three. I'm your host, Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to welcome Deborah McFarlane, who is the Chief Human Resources Officer at KBS Services. So how are you, Deborah? Hope you're well.
I'm great, thank you. And how are you today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So I'm always really excited to talk with, Chief Human Resources Officers, because this doesn't always come along. And when it does, I'm always interested in learning about what they do. Their careers and why they feel like it's their choice to pursue a C-suite level job, because that's not for everybody. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about your role in KBS and how you got into human resources in the first place?
So the role of Chief Human Resource Officer is really the architecture of the strategy, the talent strategy specifically, right? And then how do you take that talent strategy and bring it to life and then put in the right operational mechanisms and the right framework so that your leaders across the organization can go and create this exceptional employee experience, right? So the point of this job is really to listen and learn from what your people on the front lines are looking for, and then defining the talent strategy of how you hire to retire those said folks and then keep them happy and engaged throughout. So that is the probably the most simplistic way I can describe what a HR leader does. And so how I got started in my career is I always knew I wanted to get into people-focused jobs. And just couldn't quite figure out what that was. My original intention when I went to law, when I went to university, was to potentially go to law school. And I think I just had this notion of, fairness and was interested in employment law, et cetera. But then I realized what I was more interested in is the actual employee experience and what makes people excited to come to work and how they want meaningful work. And so that's really where I focused the majority of my career.
So quite a big change from law into, HR. So was there, during the switch, after the switch, was there any time which you thought about, oh, should I have pursued law? Or was it always that clear cut for you that HR was the right decision for you?
That's a great question. There was a few moments where I had thought about employment law being probably the right choice. But I mean, and this is going to sound a little cliche, but the impact and the reach you have in this role versus lore, as I perceived it anyway, was this was actually a much more gratifying path. If you truly believe as a HR leader, it is your role every day to wake up and make people's lives better and to help your frontline worker or whichever worker to have something meaningful, then then I absolutely feel like this was the right choice, because what other career do you get to help people and improve their lives without being a doctor or a lawyer in those kind of spaces? So for me, it was just that connection to helping while still having big, broad impact. That's why for me, HR was, I mean, I felt like I made the right choice as a result of that.
So did you get into an in-house HR role, or did you first start it in like an agency role?
Yeah, so I started in HR as a generalist who, funny enough, I actually started with a small independent private owner of a company where I was actually in an operations role. I was in retail, and I was actually doing sales management and operations management. And what really drew me to the HR piece of it was I loved the people side of the management, and I loved the helping people with their career and the development and the building more so than the actual, yes, it's great because you want to win the sale for the company, but it wasn't where I found my personal satisfaction, right? And so that was really what helped me think about, well, how do I do this at broader scale and how do I do this on a bigger impact? And that's when I was like, okay, I need to pivot my sales and operations career and get into pure HR so I can start focusing on talent. So that's how I started. And then just really focused on how do I mirror or how do I marry the sales operations background with being a really effective HR business partner. And that's where I really springboard my HR career from there.
I'm always interested in the debate between whether a graduate or, somebody who's still young should get a job with an SME like you did, or get into like a big company first. Because, obviously, there comes a lot of benefits working with big companies, maybe less so in SMEs, but in your case, you got to work closely with the business owner, which I guess must have been, a massive help for your career. So yeah, how would you advise people?
Yeah, that's a great observation. There are lessons I learned from working with an entrepreneur that I still use today, right? And so if you ever want to really understand the value of the decisions you make, and the impacts, you work with a if you work closely with an entrepreneur who's who can tell you the impact of every single dollar you spend on the P&L. And I also learned from them how to invest for growth, right? So you may have all these great ideas about what the future is, but if you can't afford it and you're not growing your business at the right rate, it was such a great lesson for me to learn that right out of the gate of my career, right? Because those are lessons. I'm now in a private equity backed organization, which is run the exact same way. And previous to even when we were, I was with another big company, big structured company, we still had that mindset. Right. And so what I would say to most folks is, I don't think it matters which order you do it in, whether you do smaller than bigger. You learn different things from both. And I think as a well-rounded experience, you should absolutely try to get both in your career. But for me, it just worked out that I did the smaller first, and then I was able to apply it on bigger scale. And having that ability to be agile and think about it actually think about problems a little bit more simplistically before I put them on a larger scale in bigger companies, actually worked out well for me.
Because there's this school of thought that thinks perhaps it's harder to switch back to a big corporate company after you've spent time in a smaller company. Would you say that's, not that entirely true?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't think it is. I don't think it's difficult to switch back and forth. I do think you have to have a really realistic understanding of your role and the span and the scope of what you can do in bigger companies and smaller companies, right? So in bigger companies, obviously your ability to impact change, while it's big on a big scale, that's great. But the speed of which you can potentially do it is much slower. So you have to make sure you have a realistic expectation. On the other end of it, if you're in a smaller company, you may have all these grandiose ideas of all the great things you want to do, but you don't have the resources and the dollars to go support it, right? So I would just say that the tactics are the same, the approach is the same, regardless if you're in big or small, but the speed at which you can move is really the difference, right? And I think as long as you understand that going in, it's easy to go back and forth between the two because the complexities of the issues you solve are pretty much the same. It's just how do you scale one and how do you make something that's on a smaller scale just work, right? So I don't think it's a big deal to go back and forth between the two.
So, after you spent time with the business owner you talked about, you then switched to a bigger corporate role, started your HR career. Can you tell us how you progressed through this period, and was being the CHRO of such a big company a goal, an early career goal already for you?
So because I was in a sales and operations role when I first started in my career, and it was a small company, I used to probably deal with probably on a weekly basis this the owner of the company, right? And so he was actually the person that gave me the opportunity to go into HR. So here I was, because I'd had good sales results and because I was generally known to be a good leader. This gentleman who I had just finished school and I had just gotten my degree and I had gotten my certificate in HR, because I had performed well in his business and I knew it, he gave me the opportunity to go start the HR team. And so I wouldn't have had that opportunity if I hadn't have done, had the career path that I had had, right? And so I got the opportunities because the results were there and because I happened to know this business well. And then I was able to apply the schooling that I had had with the opportunities that I had with the company. And this was a company that was growing, right? At the time, it was a retail business and it had about 6 stores. It was growing. It ended up opening up about 50 stores. And so to have the opportunity in my career that early to grow something and to build a HR organization from scratch, I mean, it was trial and error, and I'm sure there was many mistakes along the way. But it was a unique opportunity because of that business and because I had a relationship with that owner where I'd had a proven performance track record, right? So I, as the company grew, my HR organization got bigger. I then made the decision that I had been there for about 6 years and I knew we were maxed out where we were. And this was actually the time I made the decision. It was I needed to go to a bigger organization. And so this is when I moved into Home Depot at the time, right? And it was a programmatic big company HR approach to HR. And it was a great experience, very different than the work I've been doing. And then through that, I ended up just growing my career. When you're in transformation environments and you're in environments where you are doing mergers, acquisitions, we were doing, I don't know, consolidations, we were growing, all of these different things. There was an opportunity to do many different jobs within HR, and I was able to grow and do that. But at the time, did I set my sights on I wanted to be a CHRO? I don't think I did that. It was more, and at the time too, I mean, HR was still a forming, it was a relatively new discipline. And I've certainly benefited from the evolution of HR as it's gone along.
I'm actually interested in asking if you've ever thought of starting your own business, because you've been in such close proximity with your business owner. You know the business inside out, and you talk about mergers and acquisitions, language that doesn't necessarily come from an HR. Have you thought about, going into business yourself?
Yeah, I have. It's one of those things where, because I have come from sales and operations, I have been offered along the way if I would like to go back into a sales or an operations role. But I've always said no to that, simply because I feel that the experience I've had from being sales and operations makes me a better HR person, but I don't think it makes me the best sales and operations leader. Right. And so I'm grateful for the experience in the sales and ops space, but it's not my true passion. Right. The only thing I could see opening from a business point of view is how do you take the skill of HR and commoditize it, right, and turn it into a HR services business? I would potentially do that because there's a huge need for helping companies with talent strategy. Helping them define the employee experience, all of those things are absolutely necessary.
Yeah, this ties into it ties in greatly with my next question. So I was about to ask you, what do you think, based on your observation, the market, what are some of the things that are lacking in organizations in terms of talent acquisition or other HR practices?
Yeah, there's quite a few things that I think are the gaps. From a talent acquisition point of view, there's a gap between how do we train our leaders to assess talent quicker to get people to work quicker, right? And I think there's a misnomer out there that you need to have 12 interviews in order to make a great decision. And if you haven't had this gauntlet, and the higher up the job is, the more we put people through gauntlets, right? And there has to be a way to streamline that process so that it's a much better experience. And it really comes down to the confidence of the hiring manager, right? I think there's this fundamental belief that the only way you can test talent is through this rigorous, laborious process. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, but I don't know. I can tell you what the answer is yet, but we, as a the HR profession, would do itself a lot of favors if we can find a way to make that experience better. And so I do think that's a huge gap. I do think another huge gap is really once we have people, how what is that onboarding experience, right? And I think a lot of companies don't do a great job at that. And we are underwhelming people. And, you know, I like to use the saying, does the trailer match the movie, right? You go through this interview process, you think you're getting something, and then you show up and it's totally different. That happens way too much, right? And so how do we stop that happening? So I think there's some big gaps in what I call general talent best practices that all companies should just do. And I think there's actually probably niche markets for those, to design unique onboarding programs to close a lot of the gaps.
So talking a little bit about your current role at KBS, can you tell us a little bit about the most important aspects in your day-to-day job and maybe your recruitment strategy?
So I'm relatively new to this company. I've been here, I think, 120 days now. The biggest priority of this job is the employee experience. So we employ 40,000 people across the US, predominantly hourly workforce that is, and frankly, people are a product, right? When our customers come to us, they expect the best of the best, and they are buying the services of our company. And so talent strategy, training, leadership development, all of those things become so critical, because if we don't get the right people in seat, then we're not meeting our customer demand, right? So my role here is really to focus on the employee experience at its most, you know, simplest. And it's to really say, we have, you know, the 40,000 people we wake up and serve every single day. How do we get them excited and engaged in the workplace? How do we keep them coming back? Because they can work anywhere, right? Yeah. And so what about us is unique and special that they want to stay with us? And so that is what I do every single day. I think about talent strategy. I think about HR operations, I should say. And then how do we take the feedback from our front line and make sure that we're living up to their expectations? And so that's honestly what I do every single day.
So I think it's related to my next question about working for KBS. So what do you think is in it for people to join KBS, and what's the meaningful impact that they can make, you know, at a role with KBS aside from just, you know, a paycheck for themselves?
So I'll answer it two ways. I think we have our frontline workers, there are 38,000 people that go provide a service to our customers. And then we have the other folks who are in a corporate environment or doing leadership type roles, okay? And so I think we as an organization are going through a transformation, and we're really looking at our internal systems, processes, just how we deliver our products, right? Or services, I should say. And so what that means is those 2,000 people get to come to work every day and redesign the future. And they get to think about, if I had a white piece of paper and I wanted to take the customer experience and make it better, what would I do? How would I do it? And how am I going to design it? So that is exciting, meaningful work that people get to do, but they get to do it at scale. And I think this is really important. So this is a large organization. And so anything we do, we're doing it across 50 states. We're doing it across the 38,000 people in the field. So there's a true, there's a broad impact and a transformation nature to the work, which is just so exceptionally exciting. And you don't always get to do those kind of transformations at scale in your career. So it's a really good opportunity for folks to do that. So that is one, that's how I would decide on the corporate side. On the other side, you know, if you think about the field roles, there's an opportunity for tremendous growth. So while we may employ, I'll say predominantly, you know, janitorial frontline folks, there's an opportunity for promotions and to work through. If you look at the stats on our longest tenured employees. It's all these zone managers and regional managers. So there's a huge opportunity for career growth, and which is not necessarily predominant in our industry, right? And so that is a byproduct of scale. It is a byproduct of the training and the development that we invest in our frontline workers, and the ability for people to get promoted and grow their career. So I think those are the biggest what's in it for me, I think, for both the frontline and more sort of the corporate or back end office work.
So, just moving on to the last section of the podcast, which is about the meaning of work. So you mentioned a few times during the interview about your passion for HR. Can I understand a little bit more deeply about what exactly you find intriguing in HR, in employee experience, in talent acquisition, and how do you find meaning in the work you do?
So I think if you think about how the workforce has evolved, right? And COVID certainly had an impact, but even before that, the workforce was just evolving, right? All COVID did was just expedite it. And what our workers are asking us to solve for is a holistic view, right? They're looking for more than just connectivity to the work that they're doing. They're looking for what I call community outreach. They are looking for support and flexibility so that they can balance work and personal, right? And when this wasn't something that, frankly, most companies were able to provide previously. And so if I think about, what do you want to do, right? There's nothing more fulfilling than waking up and helping someone either achieve a personal goal, whether it is they have the flexibility at work now so that they can be the best mother or the best parent that they can be while still being the best worker that they can be and getting their opportunities, right? And so if I think about it, like that's a great moment. If we've helped someone achieve that, that's great, right? And then I think there's other pieces of it's really about listening and learning to who you serve, right? And if we can take any of these pieces of feedback and we can turn them into HR programs that actually impact broad scale, I mean, that's a huge win. And so that's how I think about the employee experience. Like, we're all winning. I'm getting retention out of it. The company's winning, our customers are winning, and our employees are winning. And so that's why it's so important. And that's honestly why I wake up every day and think about what can we do today to improve people's lives? Because, I mean, what better way than to give back, right? And so that's really how I think about it.
Yeah, when you say, people all around, including customers, employees are winning, what's your sort of picture in your mind when you think about it?
In the context of KBS, here's how I think about it. I think about a person coming to work every day who maybe had flexibility because they had to get the child to the off to school. They can still have their full-time employment, the kids' school calls, they can still take the phone call, and they're not stressed and concerned that this impact to my job versus they should never have to choose between being a worker and a parent, right? So that's an example. And then you say, okay, well, how else can we help people? Okay, so there are programs such as English as a second language, such as the GED, such as medical benefits. And then how do we promote people? How do we get them the training, learning, et cetera, that they need to be developed, right? So it's about this human-centric organization where we say the goal of HR or the role is to provide the most human-centric experience. Then it's about how do we create the flexibility? How do we get you the best leaders? How do we get you the best development of self? And if we can do all of those things, right? So that's the vision, so that at the end of it, people are feeling supported, they're feeling heard, they're feeling respected. And frankly, they're excited to come to work because they know they're valued. And if we, that's the end goal, right? And so we do all of these things so people want to opt in and feel really good about being here versus this is just a paycheck, right? And I think it's possible. And when I know it's possible to do, it's just a matter of listening and getting the right programs in place so that people can live their best selves.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Deborah, in this interview. I wish you all the best in your role, and glad to see your passion in HR overall.
Great, thank you. I appreciate it.